Dear brothers and sisters, today's the seventh session of the Beatitudes. The main Bible passage says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." The word sons includes women as collectively refers to the children of God. Are you all sons and daughters of God? Today's passage says the peacemakers are called sons of God. Then if peace is broken, if irritation, anger, or disputes arise, preventing you from achieving peace, does that mean you're not a child of God? Because if you look at today's Bible message, it says peacemakers are called sons of God. Then if you're not a child of God, you cannot enter heaven. This would be a serious issue. But John 1:12 says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name." Galatians 3:26 says, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus." Like these verses, if you accept Jesus Christ as the Savior and receive the Holy Spirit, then you're all sons and daughters of God. The phrase sons of God in today's passage holds a deeper spiritual meaning than simply just referring to saved children of God. And sometimes in this stage we say sons of God, but the word sons does include daughters and sons, so collectively refers to children. And it does get compared to a deeper spiritual meaning. So we need to look at what it truly means to be children of God. And we'll be able to distinguish between the spiritual meaning and the not. I pray in the name of the Lord that you'll be able to understand the spiritual meaning behind today's Bible message and receive the seventh blessing of the Beatitudes and be called sons of God. Dear brothers and sisters, Jesus, the Son of God, became the peace offering between God and humanity, reconciling all people with God by becoming the atoning sacrifice for sinners since Adam. The first man, Adam, betrayed God and sinned. Adam and all his descendants became sinners, and a wall of sin separated us from God. Like Colossians 1:21 says, "And although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, we were alienated from God." The sinless, the worldly people don't believe in Jesus Christ, and they don't believe that he is the Savior. Then for those unbelievers, it also includes not just unbelievers, but if you sin in the world, because these are all characteristics of the enemy, devil, and Satan. Anything that opposes God, the darkness, all the people that live in darkness and sin and have evil are alienated from God and are opposing God. And we used to be like that as well. And so we need to break down the wall of sin between God and humanity, which is what the sinless Jesus did when he was nailed to the cross. Colossians 1:20 says, "And through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross, through him I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven." Jesus, the atoning sacrifice, forgave our sins and brought peace between us, once sinners, and God. So when it says us, we need to think about how God completely despises sin and evil. Even if there are people that go to church, we need to understand that even if you go to church but act in evil deeds, then God despises that. God the Creator created all humanity, all human beings. And when God made humans, he also made laws. Satan was in charge of everything that had evil within it, distinguished in the spiritual law. Everything that is under evil and sin was under Satan, and all light and goodness was under God. And that is the meaning of human cultivation. All humanity previously was under Satan's rule. And now it's difficult to completely get rid of all the sin and evil that's within our heart. And so when God saw all humanity that was living in sin, he was heartbroken. And because of that wall of sin, God wanted that to be broken. But it wasn't easy to just say, we can break down the wall of sin and you can be my children again, because there's a spiritual law. Because they were part of sin, because humanity was part of sin and evil, God has to follow the spiritual law. If God was to just get rid of sin from humanity and not listen and not follow the spiritual law, then everything would be broken. So it's important to follow that spiritual law, which is why God sent his one and only Son to this earth, so that he could be the atoning sacrifice. And so that we could realize that evil and sin makes us further away from God. And if we choose to pursue evil and sin, then we end up being further away from God again. We must understand that Jesus Christ as a Savior was recorded in both the Old and New Testaments. And this was done so that we could be closer to God and we can understand God's heart and know his will. All people who believe in the Lord, God wishes for everyone to not sin again. And if we don't walk that path of sanctification and we just go back and forth to church, we're not friendly, we're not close to God, and all we do is just sit at church, then God would be heartbroken. God wants us to completely come before God. So we need to reflect upon ourselves and see if we are actually coming before God with all our hearts. And so Jesus came to this earth to fulfill the role of peacemaker. He was fully recognized as the Son of God. And so when we become peacemakers in all things, we will also be recognized as God's children, just like Jesus. God, the Trinity, was separated from God the Son, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit in preparation for the human cultivation, and split the role of Jesus, the Son of God, and the Holy Spirit, our helper. And Jesus came down to earth in human form. Jesus also knew that in order to do that, it would be a hard road, full of sorrow and pain. But Jesus did that, and God planned this so that humanity could be saved, and Jesus obeyed God's will. But if Jesus had disobeyed and had doubts and worried about all the torture and the pain that he would have to endure if he came down to earth, and if he asked God if there was another way, instead of being nailed on the cross, instead of being crucified, then Jesus would not be able to have all that great glory and power that he has now. But Jesus, instead, he obeyed God's will and fulfilled the role and showed us that he is the Son of God. But if we as people consider others hard to pursue peace with, and if we say it's difficult to be a peacemaker, then we need to think about Jesus' hard path that he took for us. It is nothing compared to Jesus' sorrow and pain. Why we need to think, why is it that we want to be called children of God, sons and daughters of God, but not want to take the hard road like Jesus? Romans 8:20 says, "For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren." By accepting the Lord, God's firstborn Son, who brought reconciliation, and growing to resemble his image, one becomes a child of God, a son or daughter of God. But even though all believers are saved and become God's children, not all hold the same position. Just as a family with multiple sons don't hold the same position or role, the same principle applies. For example, a king's crown prince holds a different position to the rest of the king's sons. During the Joseon dynasty, the crown prince, the future king, lived in the palace, enjoying power and splendor. But the other sons lived outside the palace as the king's subjects once they grew to a certain age and got married. And similarly, parents often have a more endearing or favorite child, usually the child who is kind or more kind, obedient, and resembles the parents most, is naturally more loved. Among God's saved children are those who align with the heart of the Father and those who do not. Some people resemble the Lord, casting off sin in the heart and live obediently by the word. Others say they believe but don't cast off sin despite much time passing and make God disheartened by being disobedient. The amount of God's love received depends on how much we actually resemble Jesus' heart. If someone, you know, makes our life difficult and we complain or we think, why they do that? But to actually be peacemakers and embrace them gently, it's actually not for the other person, but for us. It's so that we could become true children of God. Gently embracing others is actually a path of blessing for us, not for someone else. But sometimes we complain and we think we're neglected if something doesn't go our way. And then we end up breaking peace with other people. We get angry, we get upset. Then if we do that, can God actually say, "Are you my true child?" We may receive salvation. However, when we are alienated with other brothers and sisters, and we show all that temper and anger, then sometimes all of that can lead to being further away from salvation. So when we get upset, and then we repent, then yes, we may receive salvation, but we won't be able to receive God's true blessings. So all of us embracing others and making peace is not for the other person, but for us. And God desires true children who do so, who can be with God. And so, just like the Lord who sacrificed himself, we need to do so as well. And when we become peacemakers, then we can also be called sons of God. The Lord obeyed God to the point of death on the cross. And when we do the same, we are peacemakers and called children of God. When we become peacemakers, We can share in the spiritual authority and power that Jesus, as the Son of God, also enjoyed. Just like Jesus, we can receive answers from God according to our prayers. Just as Jesus performed mighty works, we too can manifest His power. Evil spirits will tremble before us, submit to the authority of His words. In the future, we'll be able to enter New Jerusalem and enjoy the honor and glory of being true children of God. Dear brothers and sisters, then can you be called peacemakers? Do you break peace or bring peace and harmony when you gather with others? Of course, if we believe in God and learn the truth, we are less likely to break peace with evil intent. But because we're not fully perfect and still have our own self-righteousness, we may unintentionally make others uncomfortable. Let's reflect on ourselves. Especially for those of you who are in a higher position in church. And when you work with other co-workers and other Levite workers, the people at the head need to just check whether, you know, you show that you are upset or how much emotions you are showing. Because our members as well look at and look towards the head of the churches. So even though as a person of a high position, you may feel uncomfortable in the heart, do you express that in your emotions? Some people don't express it outwardly, but have it within yourselves, in the heart. So if we don't, in that position, put ourselves down and humble ourselves, then it can be a difficult situation. And sometimes we ourselves might not be able to understand that this is how we feel with our uncomfortable emotions and our ill feelings. And if you tell the people who work beneath you to just, you know, talk to you conveniently or to talk to you comfortably, they still wouldn't be able to do that. So we need to just check and make sure whether the words that come out of your mouth and the expressions on your face are right, or whether it makes other people feel uncomfortable or hurt. And then without knowing, you end up breaking peace if you don't check yourself. But today we listen to a sermon on being peacemakers, so I hope you can reflect on yourselves as well. Do you adjust to others when together, or do they adjust to you? Do you insist? Do you insist on your wants? We need to think whether you are the person that always wants everything to be done your way. Sometimes you hear there's a Korean phrase where we label a restaurant as a Chinese restaurant. And even though it might not be a complete Chinese restaurant, we might go there and we order black bean sauce and noodles. That might be quite on the cheaper side. And then when the head of the group orders something that's cheaper, then the people beneath the head find it a little bit difficult to order something that's a little bit more expensive than the black bean sauce noodles. And then if the head of the group says the cheapest dish is the tastiest, then it would be a little bit uncomfortable for the others to order something a little bit more dear, expensive or tastier. So we need to think about whether we adjust to others and adjust to other people's interests and wants, or whether we experience our own assistance. sometimes in the families, we hear that the children complain how we always eat dad's favorite restaurant, or we always eat dad's favorite meals. But, and sometimes they complain, so we need to think about as a family as well, whether the children truly know the parents' interest and wants. And then as a family, go around in a circle and take turns in choosing what interests them, whether it be food or hobbies or activities. So it's important to have that in a family. Take turns so we get to know each other as a family as well. So just check, do you want others to adjust to yourself? And sometimes you might not know whether you want others to adjust to you. Sometimes you think, oh, I try to adjust to the other person's wants. But then sometimes you might see that the other person finds it difficult to actually express their own desires and their interests. So we need to think back and think deeply as to whether we are truly adjusting to others or whether we're just saying empty words and then ending up adjusting to your own ideas and wants. Do you insist on a lot of wants and benefits? Do you keep asking for things? And especially if you're on the head of the group, then it's hard for the people that work beneath you to insist on their own. Do you think of only your own wants and benefits and make other people's lives difficult? Do you assert that you're right and push forwards despite knowing the other person feels hurt and struggling to cope? Through the work of the Holy Spirit, we can begin to assess whether or not we are truly peacemakers. Sometimes, as someone in a higher, even though I spoke and gave examples of someone in a higher position, it can relate to any situation. Whether you're a student with your friends, do you get upset if other people don't follow what you want? If you're in the family, do you get upset if, you know, your parents don't do what you want? So reflect upon yourself. Even if you don't hold a high position at work or at church, just check upon yourselves in the environment that you're in, within your friends, within your family. So, for example, if the other person orders food that you don't like, then you could think, maybe I will order from the same menu, even though I don't like it. But within yourself, you feel really uncomfortable and you keep complaining inwardly how it's, you know, not your style. Then that's not adjusting to the other person. And then you find that the other person says that they say that you want to order something, and the other person says, hey, yes, you can. I'll follow your direction because I chose before, so the next time you can choose. And say you choose, and then the other person eats the food and doesn't like it and keeps complaining. How would you feel? Of course, doesn't mean that everyone's like that. Sometimes we just need to think, even though we don't outwardly say certain words, just check whether we are adjusting to other people or whether we insist on our own. Hebrews 12:14 says, pursue peace with all men and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. Even if your will, action and words seem right, it's important to pursue both peace and holiness. If you cause discomfort or conflict, you need to remember that there is something within you that is not pleasing to God. Let's check more closely on how we can become peacemakers. First, To be a peacemaker, we must achieve peace with God and within ourselves first. The most important is peace with God and peace within ourselves. Making peace with God means not allowing sin to create a wall between us and God. Jesus, without sin, tore down the wall of sin through his crucifixion. But if we continue living in sin, then the wall of sin remains. And that means we are not at peace with God. So 1 John 1:7 says, if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another. But if we walk in darkness, then we're in darkness. So when we're in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So when we receive God, Jesus Christ as Savior, then we think that we have received sanctification and salvation. However, we need to walk in the light. We need to pursue God's words so that we can be cleansed from sin. This is extremely important. Just because you've accepted the Lord, and then some Christians say, when you accept the Lord to cleanse us from all sin, past, present, and future, but then in the future you end up sinning. This is not receiving complete cleansing of all sins. So it's important to live according to word, to God's word. And when we do that, not committing sin is the first condition for being a peacemaker. The first is to be not have a wall of sin with God. So not sin. Peace with yourself is achieved by casting off evil from the heart and always pursuing the desires of the Spirit. Sin can come out in various circumstances when you don't remove it from the heart, causing suffering and preventing peace. Worldly people say peace with yourself and think that that means doing everything that they want, eating whatever they want, doing whatever they want, buying and experience whatever it is they want, hating what they hate, liking what they like. And they think, the worldly people think, having peace within themselves is acting according to their emotions. If they don't like the boss or other people that they work with, then they feel uncomfortable. So these worldly people, they can't handle that. They can't humble themselves. So they follow their emotions. However, the truth says different. The more you cleanse yourself of sin, shows that you have achieved peace within yourselves. Then it's easy to hate someone that you don't like. But the Bible says, be peace, make peace with your enemies. You need to humble yourself, is what the Bible says. Instead of waiting for the other person to humble themselves and embrace you, you have to take the first step. You have to love the others. You have to, you know, put out your hands first. You have to embrace the others. You have to understand the others. But if worldly people think about that and try to do that, they actually would probably feel way more angrier within themselves. But people who have accepted the Lord as their Savior, do you feel peace when you end up having uncomfortable feelings? The Holy Spirit tells you that you need to pursue peace just like Jesus. So when you try to love the other person and you pray, then within that situation, you still have two hearts. The worldly heart, the fleshly heart, and the spiritual heart. The spiritual heart that wants truth, that wants peace. Then of course, it's difficult because you keep thinking to yourself, I need to love that person. I need to, you know, embrace the others. But it's hard to do so within your actions. So that means you haven't completely achieved peace within yourselves. However, when you get rid of evil desires and cast off the sin, and we look back on ourselves and we pray and we think what it is that we haven't done, what it is that we need to do in order to embrace the others, then we can be like Jesus. And we can embrace the others through our prayers and with our efforts. And then one day, you'll find that you don't remember all the bad words that the other person has said. And we might actually have the heart to give more to the other person, actually look after the other person, no matter what silly or mean words that they may say to you. So when we get rid of the hatred in our heart, then our heart is like heaven. No matter what the other person does, whether they throw rocks, whether they say mean words, you don't react. This is true peace within yourselves. And in order to do that, we must achieve peace with God and get rid of and cast off all the sin and evil. But when we can't do that yet, and we're still fighting within ourselves with our fleshly side and our spiritual side, that means we're not yet peaceful within ourselves. So with the Holy Spirit's guidance, then we can achieve peace within ourselves. And then afterwards, we can make peace with others as well. In the world, that pride, people that have pride, they say people who are extremely prideful, they just go the way they want, no matter what other people say. Because these days there are lots of people that, you know, they're up and down with their emotions when they hear something that's negative. So they might feel extremely sad or down. But those who are prideful in the world, sometimes they don't care. They don't listen to it. So in the truth as well, we need to stand firm and not stumble or not waver, no matter what other people say. Follow God's word. And this year in 2025, I hope that you will be joyful and happy within the God's guidance. Second, to be a peacemaker, we must cultivate a heart of kindness. Matthew 12:19-20 says, He will not quarrel nor cry out, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. A battered reed he would not break off, and a smoldering wick he would not put out until he leads to victory. He leads justice to victory. Kindness means not quarreling, not having a prideful or self-exalting heart, and not making a loud display of yourself. Just as a battered reed or a smoldering wick is gently cared for, or a person with a kind heart loves the wicked or weak in faith and hope for their well-being. These people are considerate and gently embrace the hearts of others. Sometimes among workers, there are those who love God and serve passionately, but then they feel sorrow and embarrassment when peace is broken around them. The problem is that when people break peace and they don't realize they've broken the peace is the bigger problem. But then other people serve passionately for God's kingdom and they don't want to break peace but end up breaking peace, and they feel that turmoil within themselves. They have that emotion. It's hard for them to endure that. But then some people think that something is beneficial for God's kingdom, and they passionately push forwards. But then sometimes this can actually cause discomfort or opposition from others. Despite this, they believe that for the good of God's kingdom, enduring discomfort is necessary. So the person who is passionate believes that they need to endure the discomfort for God's kingdom. Even if there are opposing views or uncomfortable feelings from other people, they choose what's best for God's kingdom and they push forwards with the plan. But how does our Lord, who does not break a battered reed or extinguish a smoldering wick, feel about this? While the Lord would commend the zeal for God's kingdom, he would also grieve with the souls who stumble and get their feelings hurt. Imagine there's an elder son who loves his father and buys a great gift, but harshly rebukes his younger siblings for not doing the same. The father would probably prefer that the eldest son love the younger siblings and pursue peace instead of buying the gift. God's the same. God desires not just that we accomplish great things for his kingdom, but that we understand and reflect and resemble his heart. Unless it's the untruth, we need to consider the weak faith of others and pursue peace, which aligns with the Father's heart. But we must not use those words and principles for our own gain. Despite holding high positions and knowing they need to unite with the church, some people assert their own thoughts and convenience by demanding others to follow them for the sake of peace. Or they comment how, you know, not to make their lives difficult. It's important to humble ourselves and align with the will of others. Third, to be a peacemaker, we must seek the benefit of others, not our own. In Genesis 13, a dispute arose between the herders of Abraham's and Lot's livestock when they lived together. Lot, who was Abraham's nephew, received blessings because he lived with Abraham, and so their livestock grew exceedingly. As a result, there was not enough water for all the animals, and that caused quarrel between the herders. They had to separate and decide where to go. As the elder, Abraham had the right to choose the better land first, especially since Lot's blessings were due to him. But Abraham did not assert his rights and actually gave his nephew the first choice. Genesis 13:9 says, "Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If to the left, then I will go to the right. Or if to the right, then I will go to the left." Lot chose the fertile land in the east. But did Abraham feel upset when Lot took the better land after he gave him the first choice? Would Abraham have complained that Lot, being the younger and lower in position, should have yielded despite yielding first? If Abraham hadn't casted off self-interest and only pretended to humble himself outwardly, then true peace wouldn't have been achieved. Abraham genuinely desired for Lot to choose the better land, and by pursuing peace, he received greater blessings from God. So it's important to understand what is the genuine desire, what is the genuine truth. If you say good words, is it genuine? Sometimes you might think, oh, if someone says good words, whether it's actually genuine, do you doubt other people's words? With the same heart, Matthew 5:39-41 says, "Whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. And whoever forces you to go 1 mile, go with him too." As Matthew 5:44 says, "Loving your enemies and praying for those who persecute you makes you a son of your Father in heaven." Even while crucified, our Lord Jesus prayed for the forgiveness of those who crucified him. True peace comes when we love our enemies from the heart and seek the benefit of others. This is when we can become qualified to enter New Jerusalem as true sons of God. Finally, fourth, to be a peacemaker, we must deny ourselves and become a dying grain of wheat for the sake of others. Each person's measure of faith, self-righteousness, and thoughts are different. Their innate character, upbringing, and habits varies. So what they believe to be right or what they like will differ. So when people insist on their own opinions, claiming that their way is right and that the other person is wrong, then peace cannot be achieved. Even if you're right, and even if you feel uncomfortable because of another, you must be willing to sacrifice for the sake of achieving peace. For example, let's say person A likes cleanliness, but person B, sharing the same room, is messy. Of course, it would be right for B to change their habits, but A, feeling uncomfortable, tries to change B as the person. And when B continues to be messy, person A gets frustrated, emotionally hurt, and then might express displeasure in some other way. That provides grounds for Satan to bring accusation. And even if person B realizes their mistake, they will be upset, which can lead to conflict. Sometimes when we think we're correct and the other person's wrong, we keep trying to teach the other person what is right. But the problem is that the other person doesn't think that they're wrong sometimes, or the way that you speak makes the other people upset and angry because of the tone of your voice. And then it just leads to nagging. It feels like nagging if we don't use our words properly and our tone of voice properly. Then conflict ensues. Peace is broken. And then you end up fighting between each other. How peace is broken because of this person and that person. But actually, we need to think about our tone of voice and the way we actually help other people realize their mistakes. The fact that we can't use the right words or use the right tone or the right timing to help other people realize their mistakes is our problem for not being a peacemaker. Then this is not God's will. If emotions are hurt or people clash, it doesn't align with God's will. It's more fitting to just clean up the mess, endure any uncomfortable feelings, and wait for the other person to be at peace and to change. And sometimes we see that, you know, between church members, that there might be a bit of conflict because someone else is not clean. So the other person just gives up and says, I'll clean it. But after 9 or 10 times and it keeps repeating and the other person does not change their messiness, and then you end up getting angry, then all the good works that you did before, it goes to null. You must be able to pray and hold on to those uncomfortable feelings and pray for that every night so that you can get rid of the uncomfortable feelings. It's also an arrogant heart when you look at other people and say that they're messy. Because it shows that you think you're better than the other person. It's hard to change completely if you only change or try to change with your actions. You need to change your heart, because one day what's in your heart can come out. There is also a difference between covering faults for peace and ignoring them out of convenience. Seeking peace does not mean allowing someone to continue on the path of death through sin or compromise with the untruth. We are to make peace with everyone, but it must be peace and truth. This means we must first achieve peace with God before peace with others. If we seek peace with others by acting in untruth, then we break our own peace with God. This doesn't lead to spiritual blessings, but to compromising with the world and falling into sin. For example, can you bow before idols to make peace with unbelieving family members? What if unbelieving co-workers suggest a social gathering on Sunday or ask you to have just one drink to avoid ruining the social atmosphere? In these instances, you must firmly reject the temptation and choose what pleases God. Of course, you should be as wise as possible in your approach. Pursuing peace with others through untruth is not God's will and has nothing to do with the Beatitudes. In conclusion, Genesis 17 verse 1 says, "Now when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said to him, 'I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless.'" Our God desires His children to be fully sanctified and to act in blameless ways, resembling Jesus' character. To obtain these sons and daughters, God placed the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and has cultivated us up until this day today. When God has obtained a perfect child, He loves them deeply and walks with them on earth. When they reach a kingdom of heaven, God will have them dwell near His throne in New Jerusalem. Today we looked at being a peacemaker. When you become a peacemaker, you will be recognized as a child who resembles God and who walks perfectly according to His will. During the past era of kings, a prince who would inherit the throne enjoyed great glory. Then how much more glorious and blessed would it be to be recognized as a true son, a true child who pleases the heart of the all-powerful Creator God? When the loving Father looks at you, He would be beyond pleased and answer your heart's desires immediately. Even if you do not seek to exalt yourself, God Himself will lift you up before others and testify that you are His beloved child, making the heavenly hosts and angels to honor and serve. May you resemble the heart of the Lord, who loved even His enemies, and become peacemakers with everyone. I pray in the name of the Lord that you will be recognized as true children of God, enjoy glory and power, and dwell near God's throne in New Jerusalem.
Hallelujah! Our Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all the members who are receiving this prayer now. May you work in ways that transcend space and time for your children all over the world. I ask you to give them faith by which they can believe from the heart, drive away their negative thoughts and doubts, and make all their tests and tribulations go away. Scorch them from head to toe, all of their organs, intestines, bones, nerves, tissues, and cells with the fire of the Holy Spirit, and work with the original light. I command in the name of Jesus Christ, the enemy devil, all diseases, germs, and weaknesses go away. May the light come upon them. Please cleanse them of all terminal and incurable diseases by scorching them with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Drive away all endemic diseases, including malaria, all contagious and infectious diseases, and related symptoms such as cold, coughing, fever, and flu go away. May you protect them from all diseases. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, including monastic cancers, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high and low blood pressures, heart disease, pulmonary or gastric disease, diabetes, women's disease, dermatitis, thyroid problems, and all kinds of inflammations. I ask you to perfectly heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs. Make all kinds of pains go away, including backache, headache, and neuralgia. All mental diseases like epilepsy, autism, depression, manic depression, panic disorder, neurosis, dementia, go away. All kinds of paralysis go away. May they stand up, walk, and leap. Please make them see better or hear better. May the blind begin to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute to speak. Father, perfectly heal them of the after effects of all kinds of accidents and make their broken bones knit back together. Make their skins fully recover from burns. All burning sensations and heat go away. Father, please keep them from having any scar. Cleanse them of addiction to all kinds of drugs and poisoning. Make their dead nerves and cells regenerated. Make the dead revive. Father, may you bless infertile couples with a child. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy, devil, and Satan, all evil spirits, the ruler of the kingdom of the air, and their servants, go away. All evil spirits, dirty spirits, deceitful and crafty spirits, and separating and deceiving spirits, all darkness, go away. Darkness be driven away, and all the bonds of wickedness be loosed. May the light come. Father God, please give us strength to cry out in prayer and empower us to cast off sins and become sanctified. Make everything go well with them as their soul prospers and help them evangelize their families as well. All through the week, may you protect us from all accidents and disasters and bless us to lead a prosperous life where nothing goes wrong. Please protect all your children, their families, workplaces, and businesses with the fiery walls of the Holy Spirit, heavenly hosts and angels, and your blazing eyes. Give our students wisdom and understanding and let them have more fervor and passion to study hard. Protect their hearts and minds from being taken away by the world. Bless our students to love you more fervently. Please bless your children to lead a life where they do everything to the glory of God, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Bless them to always confess with their lips, "I've met and experienced God, I've received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. May you be glorified alone. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.